Amen. Well, we are in the Psalms this week, as we will be for a number of weeks between now and Easter. And so if you'll turn your Bibles to Psalm 121 is our psalm for today. Our message series is called Stepping Stones to God's Heart. And we're looking at the 15 psalms in the book of Psalms, Psalms 120 to 134, known as the Psalms of Ascent. And we learned last week that these were psalms that were sung by those traveling to Jerusalem for the three great feasts. There were three annual feasts in Jerusalem, and so those traveling would sing these songs as they went. And so these are travel songs, they're songs for the road, they're songs for the journey of life. And we call them the Psalms of Ascent, not only because the people were going up to Jerusalem, literally up to Jerusalem, was up in the hills and in the mountains, but because these psalms themselves lead us upward to God in our own personal walk with the Lord. It's in this sense that they're stepping stones to God's heart. For our own journey and for our own life. The Psalms are all about coming to meet with God, to meet with God. And so that's what we're looking at in this series together. So we're in Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. Please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear God, I pray that you would take this psalm now and the truths that are presented here for us, Lord. And Lord, just work them into our lives. Make this one of the songs of our life, Lord, that we would return to again and again in our times of trouble and need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, this is a song about help. And we all need help at times of life, right? The Beatles used to sing, what, I get by with a little help from my friends. That old commercial for the Lifelong product, remember that tagline? Help! I've fallen and I can't get up, right? Well, the question we want to look at this morning is, where do you go when you need help? Do you call them family? Do you call them friends? Do you dial 911? And it's good to have a support system in place. But as Christians, we need to look further than that, because history and experience both teach us that no safety plan, no insurance policy, no security system can keep you absolutely safe in this life. You can follow all of the safety rules, you can take every precaution, you can exercise, you can eat well, and guess what? Things can still go wrong. And that's why we need to look to God for our help. It was Ben Franklin who said, God helps those who help themselves, but the scriptures teach us that God helps those who seek his help. And none of us are safe until we take our refuge in God. Psalm 121 is a psalm about trusting in God's providential care. It's a travel psalm. In fact, many families read this psalm out loud before they go on a big trip. That's very common. Devout Jews recite portions of this psalm every time when they leave or enter their homes. They've attached a small cylinder to the right door frame of their house. It's called a mezuzah. There's some scriptures within that cylinder. And every time they go in or out, they touch the mezuzah, and they recite Psalm 121, verses 5 and 8. And so if you need help this morning, this psalm is for you. This is a good one to memorize. This is a good one to have handy at all times for the journey of life. And Psalm 121 teaches us three big truths about God's help and care for you. And I've got them up on the screen for you. Number one, the Creator is your helper. Number two, the God of Israel is your protector. And finally, number three, the Lord will keep you from all harm. All three of these are also in the outline that's in your bulletin. And if you'd like to take the outline out to follow along or take notes, you may do that at this time. But we want to look at all three of these as we learn to put our trust in God's providence and care for our lives. So first of all, the Creator is your helper. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me now in Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And folks, these are just some beautiful, beautiful verses of Scripture. They brought so much comfort to me, and I know they brought so much comfort to God's people over the years. I know many of you have quoted these exact verses in your times of need. And they tell us several things about God and about the help that He provides. First of all, they encourage us to look beyond the mountains to the God who created them. And so the hills are very important in these verses, aren't they? And they're actually part of the argument here. What are the mountains? The mountains are symbols. They're symbols of strength and stability. Mountains, they are great in size. They are long-lasting. They are unchanging. And what do we know from Scripture? The creation reflects the Creator. And so the God who made the mountains is even greater than they are in power and in strength. And the mountains or the hills, they are also upward in direction, aren't they? When we're in trouble, where do we usually look? We look down, don't we? You know, our faces are downcast. Our focus is on our troubles and our problems down here. And when we do that, what happens? That just tends to drag us down even further. But the Scriptures say, don't look down. That's the wrong direction. And the hills were a reminder that we're supposed to look up. And so you must lift your eyes if you're going to look at a mountain, right? But don't stop there because you're not looking high enough yet. And you need to look beyond the mountains to the God who created them, because God is higher and greater than all. Remember, these psalms were sung by the travelers as they made their way to Jerusalem. And it's possible that they may have sung this psalm as they were getting closer. Because where is Jerusalem? It's up. It's nestled among the hills. And so as they approached that, they'd be looking up at the hills. In that case, they were not only looking up at the mountains, but they were also looking towards Jerusalem and the temple, the dwelling place of God. Their focus was upon the Lord. Psalm 46, verse 1 tells us, God is our refuge and strength. He is an ever-present help in trouble. We read in Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And so God's not only bigger than the mountains, He is before the mountains. And so we don't look to the mountains for our strength, but the mountains get our eyes off of our problems. And we lift up our eyes towards God, who can help us in our time of need. I know there's not a lot of mountains around here in South Florida. So, you know, we just need to look up, folks. Just look up past the sky and look to the Lord. We don't just look to the hills, we look to the one who made the hills. We look past the creation to the Creator. One person wrote, nature is not the solution, but it points to the solution. Look beyond the mountains to the God who created them. So that's verse 1. The psalmist asks, where does my help come from? In verse 2, we get the answer. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so God not only made the mountains, but He made everything, right? He is the maker of heaven and earth. And this description of God as the maker of heaven and earth, this is a very important description in the Psalms of Ascent. It actually shows up 3 times within the Psalms of Ascent. It happens right here near the beginning in Psalm 121, verse 2. Happens once again more in the middle in Psalm 124, verse 7. And then it actually closes out the entire Psalms of Ascent in the very last psalm, the very last verse, Psalm 134, verse 4. And here in Psalm 121 and again in Psalm 124, it designates the source of your help. My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. When we get to Psalm 134, when we reach the end of our journey, when we are meeting with God in the temple, in His presence, it designates the source of your blessing. This phrase, the maker of heaven and earth, reminds us of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. Jeremiah 10:12 says that God made the earth by His power. He founded the world by His wisdom. And He stretched out the heavens by His understanding. So in other words, the maker of heaven and earth has what? He has unlimited power, unlimited wisdom, unlimited understanding. And that means that He has all the resources and more to meet your every need. He's got the whole world in His hands, and He is your helper. God is not only the creator, but he is involved in his creation. God did not just wind things up and walk away, but he is personally involved in his creation. And that includes you. And we call God's power over all creation and his involvement in creation, we call this God's providence. God's providence. I love the description we get in the Westminster Confession of Faith of God's providence. Let me read it to you. It's kind of flowery language, but follow along. It's beautiful. God, the great creator of all things, upholds, directs, disposes, and governs all creatures, actions, and things, from the greatest even to the least, by his most wise and holy providence, according to his infallible foreknowledge and the free and immutable counsel of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his wisdom, power, justice, goodness, and mercy. And what a difference it makes to know that God, the creator of the universe, is also your helper and your friend. How big is your problem today? Whatever it is, take it. Now lay it alongside God, the maker of heaven and earth. And I think it's safe to say God's got this, right? Or as our kids saying this morning, it ain't no big thing to God, right? Gerald Williamson writes this. He says, because God controls the universe, chance is ruled out. And because it is God who controls the universe, fate is ruled out. And so we live in a world neither of chance or fate. This is God's world, folks. And God's providence means that nothing can happen to you outside of God's will and his providential care. A husband was leaving on a business trip, and he prayed with his wife before he left and said, "Dear Lord, please protect my wife and children while I'm gone." And after he finished praying, his wife said, "Well, who do you think protects us when you're here?" Right? That's a good question, right? What's your source of help? Never forget. Psalm 121 tells us it is the maker of heaven and earth. So that's our first big truth from the psalm this morning. The creator is your helper. The second truth is this. The God of Israel is your protector. Look with me now at verses 3 through 6. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. So these verses teach us that God is not only the creator of the world, but he is the protector of Israel, and he is your protector as well. Now it's important to note the name for God that is used, not only in this psalm, it's actually used in all 15 of the Psalms of Ascent. And the preferred name that we see again and again in these psalms is the name the Lord. The Lord. And when you see Lord spelled out in all capital letters like that in your Bible, the Hebrew word behind that is Yahweh, which is God's covenant name. It's a name that speaks of God's covenant relationship with his people and his faithfulness to them. Now, in the Old Testament, the name Yahweh pointed to God's covenant relationship with Israel. But as believers in Christ today, you are also in a covenant relationship with God. You are part of God's covenant people, and so you also can trust in God's faithfulness to you in Christ. And then when you read through the Old Testament and you see how God watched over Israel and how he took care of them, you can rest assured that he will do the exact same thing for you. Now the key word in these next verses is the word watches or watches over. And you'll see it a couple times even on the screen right now. It comes from the Hebrew word shamar, which means to watch over, to guard, to keep, or to protect. And this word shows up six times in these next verses, verses 3 through 8. If you are in Christ, what these verses are telling you is that he who watches over Israel watches over your life as well. The God of Israel is your protector. He's your bodyguard, okay? And here in these verses, verses 3 through 6, now we learn some of the various ways that God watches over you. First of all, he protects you from accidents. He protects you from accidents. Look at verse 3. He will not let your foot slip. And when you build your life on God and upon his word, you are on solid ground. And you have a firm foundation, not only for your feet, but for your whole life as well. We read in Psalm 37, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. And though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. There are no accidents for those who put their faith in Christ. Everything that happens in your life takes place under God's providential care. Secondly, God never slumbers nor sleeps. Look at verses 3 and 4. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, this is in contrast to the pagan gods, the fake gods, the false gods that we meet in Scripture. There's a kind of amusing example of this in 1 Kings 18, where Elijah is facing off against the prophets of Baal, and the prophets of Baal are crying out to their God for hours on end trying to reach them, and when Baal doesn't respond, Elijah teases them. He goes, "Shout louder! Surely he's a god! Perhaps he's deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened." And what's the implication here? It's that if your God is sleeping when you need him, you don't have much of a God, do you? That's what we're seeing here. But what does Psalm 121 say? Our God is always awake. He never falls asleep on the watch. Back in my seminary days, I was a night watchman. Guess what? There were times when I fell asleep on my watch, right? But not God. He never dozes, he never nods off, he never even gets distracted. You can pray to him at any time, and he always gives his full focus and attention to you, and he always hears your prayers. And because God never slumbers or sleeps, that means that you can. Because God is awake, that means that you and I can sleep. Picture a child who's afraid and they can't sleep until their parent promises, "I will stay right here by your bedside. I'll be right here for you." And then what does the child do? They trustfully fall asleep because they know that their parent is there to watch over them. And people, it's the same way with God. It doesn't matter what problem you're dealing with. When the lights go out at night, you can leave that in God's hands. And you can go to sleep at night knowing that God never slumbers or sleeps. And he will take care of your problem, and he will take care of you. God protects you from accidents. God never slumbers nor sleeps. And then thirdly, he is close beside you. Look at verse 5. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. And so the hills might be far away in the distance. But remember, we're not looking to the hills. We're looking to God who created the hills. The hills may be far away, but God is the shade at your right hand. He is close beside you. David wrote this in Psalm 16:8. He said, "I have set the Lord always before me, and because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken." God told Jacob in Genesis 28:15, "I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go." The Lord is your shade at your right hand. He's protecting you. He's right there accompanying you every step of the way. God is not far away. He is close beside you. God protects you from accidents. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He's close beside you. And then fourthly, he protects you at all times. Look at verse 6. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. And the travelers to Jerusalem, they faced a lot of dangers along the way. Sunstroke, that was a real danger during the day. And then you often have very extreme changes of temperature between day and night. And the moon was associated with lunacy. It still is kind of today as well, right? And that was sometimes called moonstroke. So you had sunstroke, moonstroke, and then, of course, you have the danger of bandits and wild animals at night. So, you know, you're traveling on the road. You get dangers both day and night. But what does verse 6 assure the traveler? The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. We read something similar in Psalm 91. We actually sang a song today taken from Psalm 91. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Sun, moon, day, night. The Hebrew language does something very interesting. The Hebrew language often uses pairs of opposite words to signify what we would call a totality. In other words, the phrase that's using the opposites, the pair of opposites, includes both extremes and then everything in between. And so, you know, a Jewish person reading this and understanding Hebrew poetry would say, okay, when I read that the sun's not going to harm me by day and the moon not by night, what this is really saying is God protects you at all times, both day and night and everything in between. That God is present to help you with every problem in your life. The God of Israel is your protector. So the Creator is your helper. The God of Israel is your protector. And then finally, the Lord. There's that covenant name for God again. The name signifying His faithfulness and His covenant relationship with you. The Lord will keep you from all harm. Look at verses 7 and 8 now. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The first 6 verses in this psalm were all in the present tense. They were verses telling us what God does for you. And now in these final 2 verses of the psalm, we are given promises for the future, telling us what God will do for you. And in this portion of the psalmist moves from, you know, giving these specific examples we've been looking at to giving us one general overriding principle: the Lord will keep you from all harm. Once again, there's several things we can learn from these verses. First of all, God watches over every aspect of your life. That's what the verse says, doesn't it? The Lord will keep you from all harm. All harm. He will watch over your life. And the word that's translated harm here is a word that can mean either harm or evil. Jesus taught us to pray something similar in the Lord's Prayer, where he taught us to ask our Heavenly Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. One of the daily prayers I pray for my family is this. Every day I pray, Lord, I pray that you will protect my family today from all evil, danger, sickness, and harm. Now, that's not the only prayer I pray for them. I pray for their spiritual growth. I pray that God would grant them victory in their fight against sin. I pray that they would know and follow God's will for their lives. But this prayer for protection, this is one of the big ones that I pray for them each day. Why do I pray this way? Because I'm praying according to Christ's model in the Lord's Prayer, but also according to God's promise for us here in Psalm 121, that God watches over every aspect of your life. Now notice God does not say you will never have any problems. Instead, he promises to be with you in your problems, and then he also promises to turn all of your problems to good. We have a whole string of very beautiful promises in Romans chapter 8 that assure us that God is directly involved in your life and that God is for you, not against you. Let me read some of them to you. Romans 8, 28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And then verses 37 through 39, we read these earlier in the service. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, once again, these verses do not teach us that you will never have any problems or trouble in your life. What they do teach us is this, is that evil will never win out, that nothing can thwart God's purpose for your life, and that nothing can separate you from God's love for you in Christ. We find a very startling example of this in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, where Jesus tells his disciples this. He says, you will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends. And they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me. But not a hair of your head will perish. And by standing firm, you will gain life. In other words, even in betrayal or death, the believer still comes out on top. And why is that? It's because God is for you, and therefore no evil, no permanent harm can ever befall the believer in Christ. And so you can trust God's providential care because God watches over every single aspect of your life. And then secondly, in these verses, we learn that God watches over every transition in your life. Look at verse 8 with me now. The Lord will watch over your coming in going. Now, this is one of those verses that we mentioned earlier that the devout Jews recite when they leave or enter their homes. Verse 8, the Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. It's talking about transitions. And it's usually the transitions in life that trip us up. Have you ever noticed that? You know, once we're safe in our routines, things usually go pretty smoothly. But it's those in-between times, the transitions. It's the commute. It's the move. It's the change of jobs. It's the change of health. It's the change of relationships. It's those in-between times, the transitions. That's where we usually struggle. Deuteronomy 28:6 says this, that if you obey the Lord your God, you will be blessed when you come in, and you will be blessed when you go out. And I love David's prayer in Psalm 139. Lord, you know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. This is another example of what we were just talking about a few moments ago, about the Hebrew language using a pair of opposites to express totality. And so here it's your comings and your goings, but everything else in between. And so it's not only the transitions in life. God watches over all the in-between times as well. And you can be assured whether you are at work or home or school or away, whatever you do, wherever you go, God is watching over you and you are safe because God is with you. And then we have the wonderful promise that ends it at the end of verse 8. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. So God's watching over you right now, and he's also going to be watching over you forever. Two separate promises, both very encouraging. If you had to choose one or the other, which would you choose?
Forever.
Someone said forever. Now's pretty good too, though, right? You know, the good thing is, guess what? You don't have to choose, okay? You get them both anyways. They're both true if you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning. Jesus said this in Matthew 28:20. He said, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And Hebrews 13:8 tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so God's promise to watch over you in Christ is true today. It's true tomorrow. It is true forevermore. The Creator is your helper. The God of Israel is your protector. The Lord will keep you from all harm. And so as we move our way through the psalm, we move from God as the creator of heaven and earth to God as the protector of Israel to God as your personal Lord and Savior who protects you from all evil and harm. People, we are all on a journey to God. And this psalm, Psalm 121, this is a great song for the journey. The maker of heaven and earth watches over every aspect of your life. He protects you from all harm. There are no accidents for those who belong to God. And that means that you do not need to worry and you do not need to be afraid of anything. Nothing is going to happen to you without God's knowledge. Nothing can harm you when you are under his protective care. And even the worst things that happen to you, whether illness or loss or even death, all of those things take place under God's wise and loving providential care. God is for you, not against you. He is committed to your good, and you can trust him in all things. So my prayer this morning is that we will take comfort in this psalm, that we will learn to trust God in all things and learn to look for the good in all the details of life. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we praise you this morning, for you are our God. You are our Lord. We are in a covenant relationship with you. And you have committed yourselves to us in Christ, to our good and for your glory. And so, Lord, I pray that we would take comfort from this psalm, that we would put the psalm in the playlist of our lives, and that we would play it often. And, Lord, as we walk our way through life and we run into the little troubles and we run into the big troubles, that we would take comfort that you are in charge, that you are in control, that you are watching over, and that we are in your care. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.